When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of a resting place. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned, and then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, our Lord very dramatically shows us the danger of slipping backwards spiritually, of relapsing into former sins. And he does this on an occasion where he is most seriously insulted. He just cures a man of his inability to speak. Man speaks, and then these are obviously our Lord's enemies are saying, he's casting, or he worked that miracle by the power of the devil. And which is an absurdity. Why would the devil be casting himself out of somebody? But to accuse Jesus, Almighty God in human flesh, of making use of diabolical ability to cast out devils or work miracles is just beyond absurd. It's also so highly blasphemous as well. But be that as it may, our Lord also on this occasion was reminding people, don't slip backwards into your former sins. And he says that it's like a man, or like a man out of whom a devil has been thrown out or driven out. You might say that's an allusion to a person casting away the sins that he was committing and living more fervently now. But what if he were to slip back into his former sins? He will be worse off. It will be as though seven more devils came into him. And we read examples of this in history where it's happened, where people that, you know, got on the right road spiritually, but then relapsed. They became worse, maybe even far worse than they were before. So what a dramatic lesson here from our Lord. Beware of slipping backwards. And how would that happen? Well, our human nature is weak and fallen. It just tends to go backwards just naturally. It's like a stone, a round stone on the side of a mountain. If you let it go, it will just roll down. I remember Father Clement Kubisch explaining this point in sermons when I was growing up, and I remember him talking about the danger of cutting corners spiritually. Person can start cutting corners in his prayer life or the sacrifices that he needs to make, cutting corners on one's daily duty. It doesn't mean you're going to roll all the way down to the bottom, but it means you're starting to roll. The stone is starting to roll down the hill. So Lent is the perfect time, among others. Where am I cutting corners spiritually that puts me in danger of relapsing? So again, a very clear teaching from our Lord on overcome or dealing with that danger. But I wanted to also talk about religious vocation today and to segue from this point, the danger of relapsing. March is the month of vocations, so we'll be praying the prayer for vocations daily. And as we know, the religious life is the highest of the three vocations, and that also includes those men that are called to the priesthood, which is even a higher dignity and power. But we consider that as part of the religious state because the young man or young woman gives their entire life to God. But one of the greatest blessings of the religious life is the structure that it has, the three vows that are taken and the structure, and that in itself is such a tremendous help from relapsing into a life of sin. Because the religious life is so geared towards the spiritual life. We take the vows of poverty. We give up ownership. We give up the good that marriage is. It's a sacrament, but it's even greater to give one's life entirely to God in a spiritual marriage, so to speak. And then the vow of obedience, being subject to that, to the authority of the superiors, and of course, being subject to the authority of the constitutions and rules. This is such a great help in not relapsing. When someone is called to the religious life, it doesn't mean that they're automatically going to become a saint. We wish that were true, but it's not a guarantee in that way. But what is a guarantee is that there are many special helps to salvation. And this is why St. Alphonsus Liguori says, and he has to be saying this facetiously, he says, if the devil tempted you to become a religious, that is the one temptation that you should fall into. Now, he's being facetious. It's because it's not a bad thing at all. It's a very good thing. But he's trying to get across a point, how great its value is. In the religious life, a man or woman, in a sense, anticipates death. How so? Because he or she already makes sacrifice of things that will have to be given up on the day of one's death. As we know, when we die, we can't take anything with us. So by the vow of poverty, the religious is already giving up that personal ownership of things and relying on the communal property that a religious community has, and of course living by permission to use things. But that's you see how that anticipates the giving up of all material things anyway. We know that death is also the reality where one spouse dies and leaves the other spouse here in this life. So that's a leaving of a spouse or leaving of the marriage, so to speak. And by the vow of chastity, the religious gives that up. And finally, when we leave from this life and death, we will no longer be able to exercise our own free will. We will then be completely subject to whatever God says, and it will happen. So those three vows help to give up these things that in themselves are not sinful. They're good even, but they can be misused and become dangerous to salvation. Religious also do not only great good for themselves and have greater opportunities for sanctity and salvation, but they also help so many other people. There are the active orders. These are the ones that are not in the strict cloister, where they do interact with laity, even go out into the world for necessary travel or errands, and CMRI, the priests, brothers and sisters here, we are definitely an active order. We are involved in parish work, missionary work, education. Other examples of religious being in active orders are those that are, that help the poor, those that help the sick, the nursing orders. Here in Spokane, before Vatican II, there was the Sisters of Providence and also the Sisters of the Dominican Sisters, and they staffed Sacred Heart Hospital, Holy Family Hospital, Mother Joseph, a nun of the Sisters of Providence. She founded many hospitals, schools, orphanages in the Pacific Northwest. So talk about the enormous good, not just spiritually, which is the more important thing, but even in the temporal sense, or even in the physical sense. I don't know how long this will last, but the state of Washington, when it was asked to choose a man and a woman who had done so much great good in the state of Washington, the woman that was chosen was Mother Joseph. I hope that never changes. I'm afraid it will, because society is becoming so, you know, increasingly secularistic and pagan. But thank God, at least that good was acknowledged by one religious sister following her vocation and not only sanctifying herself, but doing incalculable good for so many. But there are also the contemplative orders. And even though they do not go out and help people in a direct way like the active orders, nevertheless, through their life of prayer and self-sacrifice, they are bringing down countless blessings. So we see an example of this in St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And again, we have her beautiful stained glass window here in our chapel. She saw herself as a spiritual mother, even though she never left her convent for the 9 years that she was there. She knew that she was very tremendously involved in the salvation of souls by bringing down graces upon priests, upon missionaries, and upon, you know, the work of the salvation of souls. So you see, religious do very, very much. Besides them being in a greatly spiritually advantageous state, they also bring down many graces and blessings upon the entire world. There will never be enough priests and religious, because there's so much work to be done. As our Lord said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Our Lord calls many to the priesthood and the religious life. It's not the most common vocation, marriage is, but still there are many that are called. And if they refuse our Lord, they are in spiritual danger. Why? Because God is going to give them many graces in their religious calling, but if they reject that, you see how imperiled they are. It doesn't mean it's a sin to reject the call. It's an invitation. But it is a rejection of many graces for salvation and sanctification. So it's not to be taken lightly. And really, can we be happy not doing God's will? Can we be happy saying, I want to be somewhere else than where God wants me to be, by invitation? So that's a realization that I certainly came to when I was younger and trying to discern my vocation, realizing it, and at first not being happy with the invitation. But now I can say wholeheartedly how glad I am that I said yes to our Lord. So don't be afraid of the call, young people. It is one of the greatest gifts you could possibly receive from God, to receive that invitation. And it comes from our Lord. As our Lord said to the apostles, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. And that is something I've relied on over and over. Jesus, this is where you want me to be. So I know it's God's will, and I know it can work and will work if I just cooperate with thy graces. And lastly, the most important thing for vocations is to pray. As our Lord said, pray that the Lord send laborers into the harvest. And one of the most outstanding examples of this is Mrs. Elizabeth Vaughan, a convert to the Catholic faith, who, when she converted from Anglicanism, was so grateful that she made a daily holy hour. And I believe she did this in the family chapel. The family is well-to-do, and so the bishop of the diocese must have allowed them to have this family chapel where the Blessed Sacrament was. So it was relatively easy for her to do that. But she made that commitment, and she prayed for vocations. And six of her sons became priests, one of them a cardinal and two others bishops. And I think three or four of her daughters became nuns. So it goes to show that prayer is the most important thing. Let us pray for vocations. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his vineyard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.